Good morning. The meeting of the Poll and Conduit Commission, Thursday, February 27th. It is 10:04 a.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, Basement Conference Room. The three of you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Steve Lankowskis, and T.J. Shea.
Before we start, Ms. Link, can you press the spacebar on that? Spacebar, the spacebar. Oh, there you go. And congratulations, Steve.
Whoa.
On behalf of the entire commission and everyone else out here, I'm sure we're all very grateful to you and all your contributions to the Poll and Conduit Commission, and we thank you, and we're going to miss you. And
absolutely.
TJ and I have some more private words, like fighting
I'm sure.
Words.
I'm sure you have some private
that
words.
That we'll share with you later.
Yeah.
But we just wanted
to... thank you very much. And to everybody else, I know every once in a while your butt heads would here and there, but for the most part, I think everybody's been pretty cooperative and reactive to a lot of our concerns over the years that I've been here. So thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I want to be you.
Yeah.
Now, some more serious business. Any residents that want to speak on any petition? Which number do you know?
133 Charles Street.
Okay, that's number 5, Crown Castle. Any other resident? Okay, so we'll start with a petition number 5, which is the new petition 67192. That's what you want to call it.
Yeah. It's 133 Crown Castle.
No, go ahead.
133 Charles Street. Intercept existing Crown Castle conduit in the sidewalk on Charles Street. Place a proposed 36 by 36 Crown Castle handhole. From the proposed handhole, trench and install 1 4-inch conduit 25 feet southeasterly in the sidewalk to pole 13023A. This will require the removal and replacement of 3 sidewalk panels.
Good morning. Could you please state your name?
Good morning. I'm Mark Vignani from Crown Castle.
Say it again.
Mark Vignani from Crown Castle.
And how do we spell your last name?
V as in Victor. E-G-N-A-N-I.
Thank you. And ma'am, what's your name?
Sarah Lindquist.
How do I spell your last name?
L-I-N-D-Q-U-I-S-T.
And you said you were
property manager for 126 Charles Street.
Why don't we hear the petition first and then we'll hear.
I'm for 133 Charles Street.
Okay, and your name, sir?
Evangelos Malafas.
Can you spell both your first name and last name, please?
It's hard for me to spell. I give you my glasses.
Okay. Just for the record, first name is E-V-A-N-G-E-L-O-S. Evangelos, last name, Balafas, B as in boy, L-A-A-F-A-S. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you said you're at 133?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Vignani.
So we were, Crown Castle had a pop at 169 Penn Street. Since then we have gotten out of that pop. And we currently have fiber in the private property manholes on Charles Street and on 3rd Street. The landlord who owns the property wants us off his property. So that's why we're doing this excavation to get off of his property. And he's charging us an obscene amount of money to be there. So that's another reason why we have to get off the property also.
which property is that again?
This is 169 Bench Street. We're out of that building right now. We're not paying rent there anymore, but we have to get our fiber out of the private property manholes that are located at Charles Street, and there's another one for 3rd Street. So we have to get out of both of those private property manholes and put them into the right-of-way.
Your concerns?
So that's understandable for him. The problem for us is that the pole that he's, I think, planning to relocate to is on just at the edge of our property where we have some hardscape. And we don't necessarily have a problem with them bringing the the fiber onto the pole. It's how they're going to get there, and are they going to disrupt the hardscape, and are they going to be able to restore it once they're done?
So you'll be excavating the sidewalk, correct?
Correct, yes.
City yep. right away.
And yes, and currently it is, we already have fiber on the pole, so we're just going to be taking, right now it currently goes to that pole and then goes underground to a conduit. We're going to be getting rid of that conduit and putting a new one in.
But how are you, is it already sleeved to go, to come underground up the pole, or are you going to have to put it in a new sleeve?
We're going to have to put a new sleeve in coming up the sidewalk and going into the front of the pole.
Okay, so that's the issue for us is at that pole, mm-hmm. we've got some granite and stone pavers that are like right surrounding the pole.
Okay.
So when you do that, you just want to make sure that the hardscape is restored how it was.
Oh, yeah, existing conditions will be the same when we're all done. Yep. Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And sir, Mr. Belafis, what's your concern?
I don't understand anything about the process. I don't know what they want to do. I tried to contact them in the phone, they don't pick it up. It's really, you know what I mean? It's not, nothing's concerned, like, I want to know what they do there.
So what we're going to do
is... I'm in 33 Charles Street.
What is it?
I'm in 33 Charles Street.
Okay, so we're going to put a manhole in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
A handhole or a manhole?
A 3x3 manhole, because it has to be big enough to keep the existing enclosures and have big enough room so that we can put them into the manhole. So we have to put a manhole before the private property manhole in the sidewalk and then trench a 4-inch conduit from that manhole to the pole. And then move everything off the private property.
Is who else is on that pole right now, 23A?
I believe it's just the electric and us, I believe. Actually, Comcast might be on there, too.
It looks like it's a private property pole.
It could be.
Yeah, it's not a utility, so.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that side, the back of sidewalk, is a private property issue with the property owner.
Okay. All right, we'll take that up.
So our jurisdiction runs on the sidewalk to the property line. No matter how far it goes within that property, it is on private property, so there's possibly easement rights to that, which you might need to get before you put it up the pole that's on your property.
Okay, all right. Yep, that's it. Yep, I will.
Yeah, if you have a card, I can take your card.
Okay, yep.
Anything else?
No. Just making it clear that if you can't get rights to that pole, then this conduit wouldn't make any sense to be put in.
Okay.
Shall we continue it then to make sure that we can get the easement?
No,
because then if we grant
it,
then
the conduit there not being utilized if they can't get permission.
Mm-hmm. Or contingent upon.
Contingent upon, yeah.
If where they're on that pole right now, over hit. You're on that pole now?
We're on that pole now, yes. We come to the pole and we dip down. We already have a conduit that goes from the pole to the private property manhole.
Yeah.
But we have to put a new one in, conduit going from the pole to the new manhole that's going to go on the sidewalk.
So
we're going to evacuate
like
that one.
You probably have some sort of rights there now because you have conduit on
the property. I would assume so, yes.
I'd make a motion to approve it, but pending verification that you have an easement, because we want to know that you have an easement to go up that pole before you. We allow you to dig in the sidewalk and put the handhole in.
Right.
So,
yep.
Prior to.
Okay.
And with typical conditions.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
The top of the agenda. New petition, Comcast, 55 Union Street, from existing pole 680-16 on Union. Trench westerly 4 feet in public way to the private property line of 55 Union, installing 1 2-inch conduit.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Bravo, before we start, I just want to make an announcement. All of the extant petitions that are on the agenda have been removed. We miscalculated the tolling agreement expiration, which is not until April, so they will not be heard until the April meeting. good morning.
Good morning.
State your name.
Anthony Vadalaro, Visa Victor, A-T-A-L-A-R-O.
Thank you.
Moving forward, Anthony, is there any way we can get better quality plans showing existing utilities and instead of what we currently receive?
As an engineer?
Not engineered, but a little more detailed than what we're currently getting.
Showing other utilities?
Yeah. I mean, this one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I could do that is to engineer. I mean, I'm literally drawing these myself.
No, I know. We could show you examples of what we're getting now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I don't have any issues with this.
No.
Typical conditions.
Motion to approve typical conditions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
New petition for Comcast, 300 Putnam Ave at the intersection of Putnam and Alston. Install one new 3x3 manhole over existing Comcast conduit. From newly placed manhole, trench northerly 8 feet in the public way to the private property line of 300 Putnam, installing one 4-inch conduit.
Not currently service that address?
No, that's, I believe it was an old commercial building of some sort, and they're adding 5 or 6 new residential units. So we've never had service to that building.
Okay. So we have 2 petitions this meeting for that same address. EverSource Electric and Comcast. We would like you to coordinate with us, Design Consultants out of Somerville. They're the engineer on that private property development. Just so we can coordinate all the utilities going into that development at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're talking about drainage and whatnot out there, so I would like to continue this until we get a coordination plan from design consultants to make sure we're all on the same page for all utilities.
Second.
Also to add to that, in regards to the EverSource petition for the same property, they are proposing to install conduit to the property next door for future development, so we'd like you to look at the same so this doesn't come back.
Do you know which address that is?
Right adjacent on Austin is the first. So you have this one on the corner, and the next one in on right it abuts this property.
Okay.
Just for the record, that's petition number 67317, which is number 8 on the agenda.
Correct. And TJ, will you send me an email on the drawing?
Yeah, I'll just send you some examples.
That'd be all great. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
So continue both petitions?
No, I think we should hear the EverSource one. Well, unless it's
the same. It's a package, though.
It's a little package.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. EverSource, do you want to say anything on that? We're going to continue that one.
Same thing, so obviously we'll coordinate with design consultants.
Yes.
And we are proposing to place 2 separate conduits, one to the building at 300, and again one to the building at 353 to 365 Austin, I believe the other address, the future building.
Maybe you should also coordinate with Anthony.
Yep. Excuse me, I won't let him leave yet.
Yes, thank you. What's the name of the design consultants?
Design Consultants Incorporated out of Somerville.
Are they the designer for?
The private development.
For that development?
Yes.
Also, on that transformer that you're going to put on that property, what size is that? And I would check if there's any required setbacks off the sidewalk, because it looked like it was going to be right on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I don't have any footages. I show it here on my and how many footage is. So you want to know what size?
Physical. In other words, we've had issues in the past with transformers right in the, you know, right in the back of the sidewalk, which aesthetically is an issue with, you know, abutters and community development and everyone else. So I would just double check. It looks like it's right on the property line. Unless there's any other opposition, we'd like to see it more towards the back of the property as long as you have access to it.
Yeah, I'll check with my engineer on those when we get through. New petition level 3 for 201 Broadway, starting at Verizon manhole number 26 by 44. Trench and install 25 feet of 1 4-inch conduit northerly to the building at 201 Broadway.
Good morning. Bill Conway, Conway.
You currently in that role now?
We are, yes. The license was is on the portal. We're just looking to bring a service into the building for new customers, Sitara.
And there's no other way to get in? I mean, do they have current service now from other providers?
That I'm not aware of.
Or I should say conduit space, whether it be another provider or not.
That I'm not sure.
I'm a motion to continue, just so you can see how that building's fit.
Okay.
Other conduit, and if you can lease conduit going in there rather than dig into it.
I know they had researched it. This was the option that the only option that I was told we had.
Yeah.
Utilizing our existing license, so check into that and advise to confirm.
Do you have any information on what they had found out when they researched it?
I don't. I'm covering
number
for the person.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was just told that this was their only option in, so I'll try to get the results on that.
All motion right. To continue?
Motion to continue.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Crown Castle, 231 3rd Street. Intercept existing Crown Castle conduits on the sidewalk on 3rd and trench and install 2 4-foot conduits 10 feet northerly in the sidewalk to propose 36 by 36 Crown Castle manhole. Will require the removal and replacement of 2 sidewalk panels.
So this is probably the same project, right?
Yeah, just the other side.
Same property.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you just state your name for the record, please?
Mark with a K, Vignati, V as in Victor, E-G, N-A-N-I.
Thank you.
And yes, same thing. We had diversity in that building, so one side came in from 3rd and the other side came in from Charles Street. So it's the exact same thing.
So what's happening with the 2 manholes that are in that on the property now?
I don't know what he's going to do with them. He just wants us out of
the property. You're the only ones?
They will be empty when we're out, yes. Okay. Correct.
The entire structure that doesn't go, all the
Verizon or anybody else. Yeah, it was just us in there. Those were all, we put those manholes in for us to provide diversity to that building.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, we're out of there, so now the landlord wants us off his property.
Yeah. Yeah, we just want to make sure that if everybody else needs to move off there too, it'd be a much larger structure in the sidewalk.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, it's just us.
The only ones in there.
Yes, correct. Yep.
So we would just require the entire driveway to be compliant and restored, not 2 panels.
Oh, okay,
the full
okay. Yep.
So motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And the typical conditions, an entire driveway to be installed and compliant?
Correct.
ADA compliant?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
New petition, TC Systems. Blackstone Street, Western Ave, Hughes Street, installation of two 4-inch PVC conduits at an approximate depth of 36 inches from an existing utility pole, number 749, located on the easterly side of Blackstone, to a point where it reaches the proposed concrete handhold located in the westerly sidewalk of Blackstone, distance of approximately 48 feet. Installation of 2 and 4 4-inch PVC conduits in an approximate depth of 36 inches from an existing utility pole located in the sidewalk of Blackstone to a point where it reaches utility pole 354 located in the sidewalk of Hughes, distance of approximately 553 feet. It will involve the replacement of two 3x3x4 concrete manholes.
Good morning. Could you please state your names for the record?
Good morning. John Kennedy.
And Haley Walker.
Haley, how do I spell your first name?
H-A-Y-L-E-I-G-H.
Thank you.
So you're servicing, a new customer at 40 Memorial Drive. The fee will actually go into.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that number.
It's 840 Memorial Drive.
Thank you.
Is that a Harvard building?
I'm not sure if it's a Harvard building. I'm not sure who the owner is that actually owns the building. We're providing a new service to a customer in that space.
And how did you come up with the route that you show?
We took a look at all the existing facilities that were out there, tried to see if we could use others, lease and duct, and there isn't another path that's viable. So we looked at what we could do to, minimize the impact and provide service to that location.
The street, how old is the street?
It's about 6 years old.
Is it 6 years? Wow. Where are you ultimately going to? I mean, you're showing a route here from 840 to Hughes Street, but what happens after Hughes Street?
Yeah, Hughes Street, we pick up aerial. We get up aerial and we pick up existing network.
You have a network there now?
There is network there, yeah, that we're going to tie into right at that, where we tie in on Hughes, not too far from there. You go up Hughes, go down Calendar aerially, and there's existing network up on Howard Street.
Have you looked into River Street at all? We have large.
Yeah, so when we go, I know that we did, because when we go out and we look at these, we look at every opportunity that we can. We obviously want to try to deliver as soon as we can, and any kind of excavation that we have to do, slows that process down. So,
because we have a large sewer separation project starting on River Street in the next year or so.
You do? Yeah.
I don't know if you're on Western Ave, if you have the room that you're showing, because you don't show all the new sewer drain upgrades that the city's performed.
Yeah, so whatever we show is based on the records that we got, but that might not have gotten into the record set that we got.
Yeah.
So, that certainly may be the case. We produce our running line trying to make sure that we're, the least amount of impact, obviously.
That's a lot of impact on Western Ave.
It is, unfortunately. We looked at the Verizon has a system that's there. There's no way that we could get through that system. It's got abandoned ducts. It's really old systems. There's no way to get through that. And unfortunately, the least amount of impact is what we proposed here.
So you're going from Hughes to Howard, but you don't have that route on here?
We're not doing any digging or anything. There's no impact in terms of that.
You still need licensing and grant a location to attach to all the poles getting there.
Correct.
Which is not shown here. Unless you have current licensing on the poles.
I believe we do.
Yeah, so we have pole licenses from Verizon, and we are currently have submittals ready for Eversource. For the aerial attachment.
Right.
But in the same sense, you're not requesting a grant allocation for the poles in this petition.
In this particular petition,
which
no.
you need to.
So we can show that
entire
route.
Route.
Yeah. We can show the entire route.
And then you have
yeah.
to notify your butters also.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we do have our butters
yes,
that we
please,
notify.
Please
in the term of day. Obviously, we're going to wait until we get that final license from Eversource to do the aerial piece of it. But we'd like to get started with the underground piece of it because this customer's looking for service in May.
But if you can't get the aerial, then what's the point of digging first?
Well, it's just going to take some time to do that dig, obviously, right?
Yeah, but
so.
We don't want digging.
Yeah.
That then ends up nowhere.
We have a license already in place, so we're just waiting for our MIG ready to come back.
But you still need.
We have the.
You
we
still
have,
need a.
We
local.
Have one of the licenses already.
Were the abutters notified on Howard Street from Hughes to Howard?
I'm not sure she's got the list.
You need to name each pole where you're asking for an attachment or grant allocation.
Okay.
Yes, so we obtained the abutters list from the assessor's department.
But for which route? I mean, the route is really long. I think that's where we're at.
We provided them our limits, and they provided us the list. Of
Did you provide abutters. The limits of Hugh Street?
And Howard.
And
Howard. The entire route.
Including the aerial one.
Probably be on that list. If Howard Street's not there, then obviously
well, these are the,
we need to add it.
Yeah. I mean, these are the property owners in that area.
I don't know if there are any Howard on here. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't have the answer for you on that. I'm not sure if we went all the way up to Howard Street with the aerial piece.
They did provide us an additional list. I don't know if that list off the top of my head included Howard Street, but we provided them the plans and they provided the list accordingly.
So these plans?
Yes.
Yeah, so then this doesn't show the overhead.
Yeah,
so more than likely.
We might not have Howard.
More than likely.
We need to add that into it.
I think we should take a look at all alternative routes because we don't want any reference question to have. So I think we should meet on site and
absolutely.
See what other options there are.
Absolutely. So you said River Street.
River Street is going to be the next big sewer separation project.
So it's going to get dug up.
Yeah.
And you're thinking that you'd be better served.
Absolutely.
Well, we can certainly take a look at it.
And there's a lot of utilities in Weston Ave that you aren't showing, so I don't even know if that quarter exists.
Okay. So what I can do is we'll is that record available?
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we can get that record from you,
mm-hmm.
and we'll definitely take another look at River Street.
Okay.
And then maybe we can meet again. You know, if you want to go out on site,
yeah,
we can meet you out there.
More than happy to do that.
All right, excellent.
Even Memorial Drive. It's a Memorial Drive address. If you come down Memorial Drive.
Yeah, we're not doing anything remotely close to Memorial. So
I mean, that's
yeah.
a route you could look at. For the amount of digging you're
yeah,
proposing
I don't have anything on Memorial that I could tie into. So I got to get back to existing network. And
right.
this design is dependent on licensing as well.
Sure.
The aerial licensing. So that makes it, you know, in terms of impact and time, any deviation from this would put us in jeopardy. That's all. We've already got one of our aerial licenses in hand, and we're just waiting for the other one, and we expect it to come in. So understand that if we make any kind of change to this, it's really going to, I can't get back up on poles and go, you know, if I go to River Street, what that would have, how that would impact me.
Yeah. And you said the client wants to be in service by May?
In May, yeah. So, that's my problem with trying to
yeah.
do some kind of reroute. I would have to start that process over again. The aerial applications, you know, they can take a year to turn around. We've been working on this project for, I think, since 2018. So in terms of the licensing piece of it, we have to apply for all that stuff, and it takes time. And that's my problem with this, the reroute.
been working on it since 2018. Sure. None of us know.
Yeah, we haven't seen this before.
No, understood. When I say that, that's that whole vetting process of trying to look at all the best routes and everything that we could possibly come up with. So, understand it.
And considering that, you could have come to any one of the public works, myself, in 2018 and gone over that.
But duly noted, duly noted. Like I said, that's a process that we start. Yeah. And it takes a long time, putting this plan set takes some time to put together and get all the utilities back. And it sounds like we still have some stuff that we need to add onto our plans, right? And we'll get that added into it. That's my concern with the reroute. Just understand that.
It'd be a large undertaking for you to rip up Weston Ave and the restoration associated with that.
It would, but we'd be prepared to take care of, what's required to meet your requirements.
Okay. Well, let's meet on site and we'll give you some updated plans.
Sounds great.
Okay, so continued. So there's a DPW meeting on site for other options or routes. Also, you need to amend your application to show the entire route, including the aerial, and give notification to abutters. This would be on for next month, I would assume, if we get the, would you have time to meet with them?
Yep.
Before then? And also to determine whether Western Ave has space for what you're proposing.
Okay.
If there are any changes to the current route that you're submitting based on that DPW site, you need to also upload those plans. You can't make changes to the actual application per se, so you'll have to email our polling conduit with the changes so that we can upload them to the record.
So any changes we made, we'll agree upon what that would be, and then we'll submit.
Thank you.
So if they add the overhead portion from Hughes over to Howard, is it?
Yeah.
So that, would that be a separate or just included in this?
I mean, we can do it either way. I would assume that I think the first step here that should happen is the meeting with DPW, because if they do change the route, the aerial might also change, so it might just be them spinning their wheels if they give us something now.
Yeah. My concern is the notification to abutters would not have ever been made if we just added and they add a route from Hughes to Howard. So they would have to make notification when they come back for the aerial portion, of which they didn't notify abutters.
Yeah, no, they definitely have to make a better notification. So that's why the meeting with DPW is.
But they don't, when we continue something, we don't typically ask for a.
Well, that's
condition.
They didn't do it. They have to do it.
Okay, so they will. Okay. So they will have to notify abutters before the next hearing of the additional route.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
and if the route changes, obviously, then you have to notify the new abutters that are affected by the route.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay.
So we'll take care of that piece of after we have the meeting.
Right. Right. I think May is very unrealistic, though, either way.
Yeah,
the
I know.
Moratoriums in place and with excavation, and find it very unrealistic.
Yeah, I know. It's very tough. I understand that. We're just going to try to do the best we can to meet the delivery date. So I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, should I get in touch with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a cardboard number.
All your stuff's on online, right?
So yeah.
I'll grab it. We'll give you a call and we can meet outside. Maybe, I don't know if you can do it next week sometime.
Next week's fine.
All right, excellent.
We'll make something work.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
New petition, NSTAR, for Broadway near 3rd, northwesterly from manhole 916 at the intersection of 3rd Street. Just... in distance of approximately 100 feet of conduit to supply electric service to 325 Main.
Do you want me to call these?
Sure.
Okay. And you let me know. Good morning. Could you please state your name?
Hi, I'm Kellyanne Correa.
How do I spell your last name?
Correia.
Thank you.
My name's long. Alarise is my first name.
How do I spell that?
Alarise.
Mm-hmm.
And my last name is Tony Ward. So it's Toney hyphen Ward.
Thank you.
Thank you. So basically, we're Boston Properties has a new building going on at 325 Main Street, and this conduit along
Broadway is going to serve that building.
Right.
How was that building serviced before?
I'm not sure. It might have been directly from Main, but we have an MBTA tunnel on Main Street, so that's why we're coming in from the back route.
And I know we were hoping to feed it off of Main, but Jim Wilcox met EverSource Electric on site.
Okay.
It's the only feasible way.
And you don't have any available conduit to the manhole that's right out there now?
No.
Motion approved. Typical conditions.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then my other one's continued. Do you need to open it or do anything with it, or are we just good to go on that one?
I think we're good to go.
Okay.
Well, all right. What's continued?
Yeah,
the number
the
eight.
The yeah. Putnam one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Crown Castle. Spring Street and 2nd Street, proposing to attach small cell site equipment to existing 35 feet, 5-inch wood utility pole on the northeast corner of Spring Street and 2nd Street. Fiber optic cable will feed aerial via overlashing to currently licensed poles on Spring.
Good morning. Could you please state your names for the record?
Amanda Cornwall, Cornwall.
Joe Shannon, Shannon.
Okay. You haven't changed anything in terms of what you're proposing, correct?
And that's, so for all, I think we have four or five on the, that have been continued, have been told since May or continued since May. The last time we had a kind of any sort of robust conversation about it was in November after the policy was passed in late October. So for all of these, they still all violate the policy because of at least two reasons, one being the size restrictions and the other one being the underground requirement. From our planning right now is, if the policy is not going to change, what we've been doing kind of internally is trying to find compliant equipment, and the process takes some time. We're trying to, we don't try to build five nodes, we try to build 5,000 nodes, so we're trying to get a new shroud and new antenna that can pass our products, program thermals and all that sort of stuff. We're working on that, then we need to get it approved by the customer. So that's what we're doing right now. The harder issue for these poles in particular, I think, is the idea of going under, bringing power and fiber underground to a wood pole, which these poles contemplate, is a significant challenge. I think that the license agreement hasn't changed, and I think that requirement would probably apply to these poles as well. And that's going to be a problem. So from our perspective, what we're likely to bring that we think will get approved once we can find the right equipment is we're going to be bringing streetlight applications, small cell applications for streetlights, hopefully within the next few months. But we still have to get over that finding the right equipment hurdle.
Okay. Can you explain to me why the power underground and bringing the fiber underground is the problem?
To wood poles?
Yes.
Because it's a much harder project. It's when you're digging to a wood pole rather than when we've got fiber very, very close almost all the time, it's very frequently power on that pole. It requires a much more significant design protocol, goes through a different team within our company. And for wood poles, because it's always been, because it's been, always been the way that we've built in Cambridge, on a wood pole, we bring power and fiber aerially. So we don't have to deal with the underground issues. It's a dramatically different process that has to go through a dramatically different design program, and we just haven't started that process yet.
Okay. I'm not trying to be difficult here. I'm literally trying to understand everything behind all of these things. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's not that it's an impossible request, it's just that it's a harder request.
It is not an impossible, it's conceptually not an impossible request. From a cost and from a kind of work, and I know this is not completely your concern. I think from our perspective, from a cost perspective, and from a workload, work requirement perspective, it changes the dynamics of the program pretty dramatically. If we were on a wood pole and we were kind of built the economics around that plan, around bringing it aerially, and we have to go underground instead, that's a whole different project. I think the piece of the puzzle from your perspective that matters the most is that when we're disrupting the street and when we're affecting the neighbors, an underground project is much more onerous on the neighborhood. And attaching fiber to a pole is a much simpler project. So now I think the challenge that we have, and I think we've talked about this, is I think that that piece of the license agreement is an oversight. I think that that piece of the license agreement is really thinking only about streetlights. And for streetlights, it goes without saying, of course, we're not going to be attaching fiber or power aerially to a streetlight. I just don't think that that's exactly how it's written.
Had nothing to do with that one, but I don't know.
I think I did have a discussion with the law department. I think there was a proposed change in that license agreement, but it's with the law office, not with. I don't think it would be. I think that change wouldn't have to go before us.
So we have different. I don't know if you saw on the agenda. We have some proposed changes. And they don't deal with the feed. I haven't seen any proposed changes to the license agreement, and at least my last conversation with the law department, which was yesterday, was that the license agreement is as is. But I don't know.
Well, then I wonder.
I know Extenet has been doing things with the law department. Have you submitted your request in terms of the license agreements to them?
We have.
And have you gotten any response?
We probably not in the last couple of months.
Okay.
I guess the question is whether we're accurately interpreting the license agreement. And I think that is something that would be on your purview to decide. I think... My read on the Pole and Conduit Commission is that you guys are responsible for managing the right-of-way.
But the license agreement is not with the Pole and Conduit Commission.
I understand.
It's with the city manager.
Of course. And the question, I think, on that underground piece, though, is whether I'm over-reading it. You know, and
okay.
We go through a lot of, you know, a couple of iterations internally about how we want to build so that we can protect our asset, obviously, and this is one of the flags that came up that it's not perfectly clear. So that's only the one issue, though. The secondary issue with the equipment is one that we are still working through, and I don't have an answer for that yet.
For the size?
The size.
And that puts you over the allowable height requirements, too, correct?
No, I think we're okay on height. I think we're okay on height this time, because I think those were some of the changes that happened in October to the policy, the 30-foot requirement.
Do they exceed
10%.
4.5 cubic feet in volume?
That's for the cabinet, right?
Yeah, the cabinet.
I'm sorry. Is this the proposal? The changes proposed for today? I'm sorry. I haven't.
We didn't have them. They weren't posted. You don't have them because they weren't posted. So there's a proposed change to.
I think it was a couple of proposed changes
to 7B. Which is the equipment cabinet, equipment shroud, antenna, and antenna shroud. B right now reads, any above ground or pole mounted equipment cabinet or shroud shall be no more than 36 inches high, no more than 18 inches wide, and no more than 12 inches deep. That sentence, the proposed change, will now say that the cabinet or shroud shall be no more than 48 inches high, no more than 18 inches wide, no more than 12 inches deep, and shall not exceed 4.5 cubic feet in volume, except for an application involving a wooden pole, in which case the equipment cabinet shall not exceed 6 cubic feet in volume.
I think that works.
I think that'll work.
I think that does work. Is this the volume's a little, it sounds like the volume is a little bit bigger than what the original proposed,
yes.
And our volume is smaller than the original proposed route, so I think that would work for us. How about the antenna?
But I think we're over on the overall height by exceeding that 10% rule, correct?
For what?
So, let's see here. Any installations at the site of an existing pole shall not extend the overall height of the pole by more than 10% of the existing pole height, except for the whip antennas.
Yeah, there has to be a change to that one if there's a change to the one on below. I agree with you. As you can see, we have not had an opportunity to discuss this in an open meeting, hence today. This is what I want to understand. So let's say that there is changes to the size that, because I think you, at least your equipment was pretty close in size, just not there yet.
We were more narrow but taller.
Okay. So let's take size out of the equation. The bigger issue I see for these applications are the way that they're fed. And if that is through the license agreement, and quite frankly, I have not read the license agreement in forever because since we have nothing to do with it,
sure.
I haven't looked at it.
Yep.
But I will certainly look at it, and I think we can certainly present the questions so that we can advise when we get these questions, we can properly advise as to what the interpretation is of the city with regard to whether or not this is just contemplating light poles or whether it's contemplating all poles, including wooden poles. With that said, I am not sure that there will be any changes made to the small cell policy today because, as you saw, we have not even looked or even talked about it. So what I would suggest is entering into another tolling agreement for these because, I mean, or we can just take them all off at this point. You can withdraw them or we can deny them or however is easiest. Because if you think, if the feed issue is clarified and you do comply with whatever change is made, then I'm not sure whether you'd want to change these at all.
I don't think we would.
So I don't know. I am more inclined for a tolling agreement on this than anything else, but I'm not sure.
So I have a clarification question regarding overall total height. Is that going to include their bracket plus the antenna, or is that just the antenna on top of the pole? Because their bracket does... Have you looked at that, Steve? Because I just took one of these for example.
I think the bracket is considered, well, it'd be the overall height.
Overall height, so it's the bracket and the antenna.
It's the overall height. And if you're increasing the overall height, if it's a 35-foot pole,
right.
It's,
so,
you know, be three.
But it would be, so this is the end of the pole. It would be this. It's not all this.
So it's 10% on top whatever the pole is. So if the pole's 29-foot one, you're allowed 2.91 inches or whatever the math works.
Well, I think that the way that's been interpreted elsewhere that I was thinking that was how I was reading it here. Originally there was a 30-foot overall height restriction, and I thought that probably did not include, that was talking about from top of the street light down or top of the wood pole down, that the change would be contemplate a possible 10% increase in height of the, if we were replacing the street light hypothetically.
Okay.
So that the antenna that's going to be 2 feet taller and then the bracket, which is usually 2 feet also, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So I just looked at one on 2nd Street, whatever it is. The pole's 29 feet, 1 inch, and your proposed top's 32 feet, 9 inches. So that's a difference of 3 feet, 8 inches.
That's with the antenna?
With the antenna. And with the pole plus the 10% allowable, almost 32 feet. So you're over by 9 inches going by the 10% rule.
Are we reading overall height to mean to be inclusive of antenna? Or are we just talking about to the top of the pole?
The new proposed overall height would be the top of an antenna, right? I would say. Right?
It's probably good to flesh this one out now also.
Yeah,
I totally understand exactly what you're talking about. I would read overall height of the pole to not be inclusive of antenna or shroud, or antenna or antenna bracket.
I think there's a little confusion with street lights and wood poles.
Yes.
Because if your street light, and you're talking about the antenna, you're not going to increase, you know, we wouldn't want the light to be,
The whole street.
And the antenna can't be incorporated within, below that height. Yeah. So I think it was not to increase the height of the pole itself. And then the antennas, we have restrictions on within the policy for.
Oh, so
for
it's not including
the antenna
itself. Okay.
Not the way I read it.
Okay.
I would suggest a tolling agreement at this point.
I would too, only because, I think because with some of the proposed changes may answer a lot of, the questions of why, they wouldn't be approved.
Yep.
In the undergrounding, that's a license issue, and I've had conversations with the law department, I believe that amendments are also, I propose amendments which would affect wood poles. I don't know if that's something that we can discuss here, because it's not a...
I mean, we could, but yeah. I'm not privy to that.
Right.
I don't know anything. So...
Continue.
Did we bring down tolling agreements? Oh, thank you, Dana. But I don't disagree with you, TJ.
I just did the math, and the way I read it, we were over.
Well, but also
the
10%
rule.
And Steve, I know that these proposed changes came from your conversations with the lawyer, so maybe you can explain this better to us. But when you look at 6, at clause 6, and then you look at clause 7, then it doesn't. I mean, even when you look at F, no installation shall be more than 10% higher than other adjacent poles except for installation on light square poles, whatever. E says in residential, the installation, the top mounted antenna on installation shall not increase the height by more than 5 feet. But then the one before talks about the 10%.
That right, that's the one I'm looking at.
That TJ is talking about.
Yeah, we didn't. The only discussion that I had with them is the shroud size and the 1907 pole not being considered a decorative pole, where in the policy it names it as being a preferred where to put a small cell.
Yeah.
So we moved that into a decorative, but we didn't discuss as far as the height, additional height and antenna size.
We like F better.
Yes, of course you do.
I recall the change was made in October. There was a 30-foot rule in the original, and that was changed in October. I don't recall what it was changed to. But did we take out whichever is less? Am I remembering this correctly?
So that's D, where it talks about, which is exactly the one that TJ is talking about. Any installations at the site of an existing pole shall not extend the overall height by more than 10% of the existing pole height, except for whip antennas, which shall be no higher than 30 inches by 2 inches in diameter and have an antenna mount more than 45 inches by 4.5 inches in diameter, and except for installations upon large square light poles, which may be more than 30 feet high. We shall not extend the overall height by other large square poles.
Well, the 30-foot rule challenge. If the 10% is included in the antenna, then we've got a kind of internal incongruence there, right? Obviously, which I think is what we're all talking about. But I think the other piece is that on wood poles, the 30-foot rule almost frequently wood poles are 32 feet or 34 feet. That's just sometimes our favorite.
They're all over the, yeah, and they can go up to 45 feet.
But then that's when you'd be 10% allowable over, correct? or no?
I think part of it should be clear. And the biggest issue with the policy is the difference between a wood pole and a street light pole. And I think policy, there's too many contradictions between the two. Wood poles, they're all over the place. You might look at one, it might be 29 feet, 3 inches. Another
right.
one might be 35, another one might be 45,
right.
all on the same street. So if you're increasing it by...
But wouldn't that work, when D would come into play, where the overall height of the pole, you can't extend the overall height by 10% with the antenna?
If the utility, if they apply for equipment on a utility pole, being a provider, and there's not enough room on that particular pole, they can, at their cost, the pole would need to be changed to a larger pole.
We've replaced poles when they're.
Yeah, and they're usually with a taller pole to begin with, and that just. I mean, because it's a wood utility pole there.
And we have limited control over what they replace it with.
Right.
But you do have play with your bracket to make it, not telling you how to do it, but to make it work within the 10% rule.
Depending on the size, on the height of the pole.
True.
The new problem we're having also in a couple of, not in Cambridge obviously, but the brackets are getting, when we're, obviously, you guys know this, we prefer co-location. We have multiple carriers on many, and there's a lot of cords going between the shroud and the antenna. Bracket's getting pretty tight.
Oh.
We're running out of space in the bracket, and that's on a 2-foot bracket. If we brought it down to a 1-foot bracket, I think is what we're talking about, it would be incredibly problematic.
So just quickly, going back to the license agreement, and I believe the recommendation was, and that's 24 in the license agreement, that there shall be no aerial cable connections to an approved wireless facility, comma, unless approved by, this was the change that was proposed, unless approved by the Pole and Conduit Commission. Any connections to the approved wireless facility shall be made underground unless the Pole and Conduit Commission and any other city's department requirements and prior approval for common access to any trenches needed to the approved wireless facility, unless otherwise approved by the Pole and Conduit Commission. So it falls in, they more or less put it back in our lap on a, if it's an overhead, my opinion, if it's an overhead street, they should be able to be fed overhead. I mean, your power's overhead, not everybody's in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and it's not atypical for us to come down overhead, go underneath on Cambridge Street or Broadway or something where we have to go underneath and then come back up on the other side. Would be pretty...
That's a typical
happens.
Requirement.
Yeah.
If it's an underground street, it's an underground street, and you're required to. And so that, but on a most residential streets with wood poles, everything is all communications
overhead.
And electric is overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so this was the correction that between myself and a lot of partners, this was because we have the call on it. So when we see a petition come on a wood pole, that we have the ability to not require the underground.
Makes sense.
So I believe that change was made, but that's within the law department. I would ask for a current license agreement and see if they've made that change.
I will.
Okay.
So we'll continue these. We'll see if you guys make changes today. We'll look for a new license agreement, and maybe we'll be back next week, next month.
Okay.
So on a tolling bill.
Not next month. I can promise you this will not be ready for next month.
Okay.
Because I can tell you right now, I'm not voting on these changes today. They
Your
may.
Clarification.
They may vote on them, but I'm not voting on them because,
okay.
like TJ said, we need clarification.
Well,
and also, I'd want to post this, but yeah.
So how do I? Where can I say that we'll go longer than we'll go till?
I think didn't we change that one already? Did you print the old one?
That's a 60. When you want the 90, the other one that says.
That's got 60 days on it.
60.
It says
that
a minimum 60, maximum 75.
I'm just gonna write it in.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So if it's That one's saying that
you're
agreeing to a minimum of 60-day tolling and a maximum of 75-day.
That's probably sufficient. Minimum yeah. 6 days is probably sufficient, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All the other ones were XNet, which are going to be heard in April. And then we were going to discuss the replication of grant pending petitions which have not started or completed work, but I think we got some clarification from you, Steve, on that, didn't we? Thank you.
There are 10.
The 10 that remain are petitions that were approved, but they fell within
the moratorium,
so that date, the 60-day freezes until the moratorium is lifted.
So we're in good shape.
So those 10 that are in my queue are within the moratorium.
Okay. How are we going to track these? This is becoming super hard.
It is.
And how are we supposed to know when they start work, when they finish work? I mean, I know it's on the petitioner, but...
When it's in my queue, if I don't, what I would typically do is when they apply for the utility permit, which is a requirement of the typical conditions,
mm-hmm.
I will check to see when they were approved, and if it's over 60 days, I would just reject it, which I've done on all the balance of the ones that were in my queue.
Okay.
So they reject it. I reject it, and it stops there.
And
I would think
permit?
That they are, aren't they mm-hmm. automatically sent an email? Yeah, I reject their utility permit.
Okay.
Now, I have a question.
But I have been that check at that point, so I don't know whether it should be something automatic. So when it comes, can that be done?
I don't know that I understand it.
In other words,
I know what you mean.
Before it gets to Steve.
So you know, typical most, you know, if they don't get it done, if they don't get started within 60 days,
mm-hmm.
you know, by our policy, it's void.
It's void.
It's void. Unless they ask for an extension.
So, if I'm right, your question is there a way that the system can be set up to automatically void it?
When it comes to my queue, the clock would start running 60 days time or within, maybe give them a heads up, maybe in 40 days. An automatic email says you haven't applied, it will be void in 10 days, 20 days.
So I think I've had this conversation with Melissa, and I cannot remember for the life of me what the response is. But I think we were going to test it on pulling conduit, and I'm not sure if it started yet, so maybe after the meeting we can go up and talk to her about it. Okay.
And to be honest, I was always the check at that point because Public Works would not even talk to them. You know, they'd take the application, but they'd send it back to me first.
Okay.
And so the check was always the electrical department. You know, is there a grant allocation? Because they come to us for not just for dig jobs, but there's other stuff that doesn't require a grant allocation. It has nothing to do with the Pole and Conduit Commission. It's just repairing a manhole cover. Well, it does, but it doesn't. It doesn't. No. Or attaching, you know, Comcast comes in and they're attaching, you know, to their existing infrastructure. They have a grant allocation for that attachment. It's just it's a check from us that they're not putting new attachments on mm-hmm. new poles. And we know it's an existing attachment. They already have a grant allocation. No need to go to Pole and Conduit. And I just send it down. We okay the utility permit. We send it down to Public Works. And they, in that case, if it's just applying overlash onto an existing attachment, it's just a what they call a crane permit for a bucket truck to block the street. Yeah. A boom truck. But if it's anything to do Pole and Conduit related, I would check the viewpoint, see, you know, when was it granted. If it's over the 60 days and they had not requested an extension, I voided it.
Okay.
So if it could be done automatically, twofold, it would give the utilities a heads up that either this job is not ready or they just can't do it in 60 days, and they would request an extension for another 60 days or
whatever. Who do they request that extension through?
It should be through the commission, which they have. typically, you know, ooh, yeah, goes to Dana.
Okay.
And they should upload it. They should really go through Dana, and they should upload it into that petition.
So we'll go upstairs and ask Melissa what the status of that is with Viewpoint in terms of the clock and the 60 days.
I think she said that it's a separate program that IT is working on that
I think
has an expiration date. And what happens is I get a notification 10 days, say it's 10 days before it expires. So I go to look at the report, and I see the ones that are about to expire, and I notify them. That's the last I heard of them.
I mean, they should know. The utility should know that they have, you know, it's a 60-day. But there are, you know, most of them are very good.
But
we have the some of the frequent flyers that just.
And who are the ones that are giving us the problems also with the completion of work?
I believe Eversource is probably, they have the most that I've voided.
Dana's shaking his
head. Yeah, and after my queue, I'm not sure how far, you know, if it's something else that they need to do after.
No, well, if you reject it, if you say reject it because it's void, then the record stops and it doesn't proceed anymore.
Right.
Exactly. But if it goes beyond, you know, there are time constraints after I've approved it, and it goes to construction for those 60 days, and then everything after that I wouldn't see. But I know just from the history of it, it's mostly Eversource, to be honest with you. And there are some stragglers in but for the most part, it is Eversource, the electric utility.
Are you going to have a meeting with them before you retire? Pick them all up for
7 days.
Six days.
Huh. Who's counting?
Well, you know, over the last month or so when we were cleaning it up, they would get an email, wouldn't they, Dana? So if I reject it or approve it, they should get a...
You get sent to the system.
Yeah.
So I've heard nothing, so I guess those jobs just aren't going to happen. Or maybe they got the jobs canceled. They're not doing the work.
Or they did it and we don't know.
Yep.
No, if they did it, that means they didn't get a utility permit and they didn't get an excavation permit, because they will not issue an excavation permit without a utility permit.
Right.
So if they're doing it, and if they were doing it, they would have to go to DigSafe, and we monitor the DigSafe.
Mm.
And if they went by the DigSafe, you know, they're in violation of the law, and that's way beyond, not beyond, that's even worse than not having a permit. To put a shovel in the ground without a DigSafe notification. That's how we track pole replacements, and that's how we've caught utilities out there trying to put conduit in without pole. And they say, well, it's blocked or you can't get through. And I say, well, fix it. That doesn't need a hearing, but if you're going to put a conduit from one manhole to the other, it's a hearing.
Yeah. Steve, in terms of these proposed changes, the application process, the plus any other amounts due and owing from the applicants to the commission. Do you know what that is?
No, that was the only input that I had for the current change that I was proposing was the size of the shroud and going from putting the 1907 pendant fixtures out of a preferred installation and put it into decorative, as a decorative fixture.
So 1907 is now a decorative?
Yes. And frowned upon putting on. So what it comes down to, the Cobra Hit are the ones preferred for installation. And we added the 1907s into.
And then the preference is Cobra Hit and then large square light poles.
Correct.
And then in terms of what TJ raised, are you clear on how the provisions of 6 work
and whether they work in line with or in contradiction to 7.
I'd have to dive back into this.
Can we look at part 2? G. Is this reading that any and all permits and approvals, including but not limited to any permits from the City of Cambridge Department of Public Works, Police, Historical, Community Development, and Traffic, or any other city department, federal, state agency required for the proposed installation shall be applied for on the same day as the submission of the application or promptly thereafter, but not before? Are they talking about the pole and conduit submission?
Yes. So that's when we get the application, whether we deem it to be complete or not.
So this is saying they need to apply for electrical and traffic and DPW at that time?
Yes.
If required.
Does that make sense?
No. But that's the FCC regulation.
Okay.
That's why.
Because
that's why we're in this.
That's why we're here.
Because if it's not, if we don't, if we don't require it then we can't deny the application as incomplete for their failure to file for these other permits. Also, if they file for it and then they get the grant, but then something happens with the permit, our clock in deeming the application, like you can't say to them, your application's incomplete because you haven't filed this. Like, the argument, which is a horrible argument, but it's the argument that everyone, that the FCC regulation supports, is making, is that no city can require, no commission can require them to get permits after the fact. So our current process of us providing the grant and then applying for utility and then applying, none of that is appropriate. And the time clocks and the constructive grants of not doing anything or not providing a permit start running the day that they submit the application.
Okay.
Remind me, I haven't seen either of your permits in a while. Do they have work dates on them?
Yes.
Requested work dates, yeah.
That gets complicated.
The utility, yeah.
I don't think that statement's realistic.
It isn't. It's not realistic and it's not practical. Not for purposes of our commission and not for purposes of the petitioners, in my opinion. In my opinion, this is just creating more problems for everyone and spinning wheels.
We can't change that?
I mean, we could. We could ask a lot of permits to change it, but they're going to say no because that's what the FCC requires. Or they can say we can take it out, which is sort of whatever, and then there's the possibility that when we say to someone, no, you can't do this because you didn't get your utility permit, they're like, no, yes, we can. And then there'll be a lawsuit, and then someone will have to decide.
There'll be a lot of permits out there just in limbo.
I agree. I would hope that the utilities work with us knowing how ridiculous the FCC regulation is and that the permits that we're requiring after a grant, aka a utility permit, an excavation permit, are not us trying to block them, but us trying to make sure that people are safe.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we're going to get cooperation across the board.
So maybe we can change that verbiage to say that.
Cambridge has been great about making sure that everybody's clear that those permits you have to get after the granted location are non-discretionary from our perspective.
Yeah. We'll see. Okay. I don't have an issue with the size changes proposed or the 1907. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep approving changes to this that, quite frankly, to me, continue to be confusing. It sounds like TJ's also confused, which I'm glad that I'm not the only one.
Let me just get clarification.
There are a lot of contradictions between, unfortunately, I think a lot of it should be written to address streetlights and city property opposed to wood utility poles. I think it's always been, unfortunately, the FCC doesn't see it that way. Mm-hmm. But
this would be what I think would be super helpful. Because we can't talk to the three of us sitting down with the lawyers at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Which is also ridiculous.
Yes. And because you're leaving, what I would love is for you to do a list of the things that you think are confusing or contradictory or that would make sense for it to change and give it to Paul so that we can actually work on this mm-hmm. even while you're away. Mm-hmm. And TJ and I are like pricking your little hand there.
Your doll.
Yeah. I mean.
I will.
And then TJ,
Tom's just laughing in the back.
And then I think you need to talk to Paul too.
Okay.
If when I retire, which is next week, that may open up. I mean, I'd be glad. You know, I'd have to just get an opinion on how I could work with you. You know, it may be easier than right now. We can't. But if I am not in this position, it might be helpful for me to, in another capacity, I should say.
You could sit here and tell us stuff, right. But we mm-hmm. still wouldn't be able to discuss it together unless we're in a meeting.
Correct.
Right.
Which I'm perfectly fine with both of you running with this because, quite frankly, I don't like it. But.
Well, according to a lot of the commercials, that 5G is everywhere right now.
Yeah.
So I don't
California.
I really don't know what the big deal is. I mean,
I think we really need to reassess the size issues again if we're talking about 5G.
Right. Yeah.
It will only
don't
get
go
better.
Access is important. Let's get one step at a time.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah.
But according to the commercial, it's already out there nationwide.
It's different things to everybody.
Yeah.
So I think, did you get this in Word too, TJ?
I did.
Yeah, because I think maybe what you can do is just add your comments and
okay.
concerns, especially like G or whatever that one was.
D.
No, but also this one, the one,
the
crazy one, the permit one, and send it to Paul. And then maybe we can just set up individual meetings with the law department and then try and figure something out. And then I'll keep pushing for anyways, even if it has to be in an open meeting for all of us meeting with the law department, because this has now been, almost a year, and it's still crazy confusing.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. So I propose making no changes at this time, but I will state on the record that I would have no objection to increasing the size as proposed in this new one and moving the 1907. To a non-priority and a decorative pole. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And then we have minutes, which are not on the agenda, but you guys look at them?
Yep.
Okay. Are you all
for both them? January and February that we have to?
I believe we already approved January, did we not?
We approved January.
Okay,
so
just February. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're all set
right
with those?
Yes. Yep. I do have a copy.
So we'll vote to approve on the record and then we'll sign them
upstairs.
Them
upstairs.
I actually have a copy.
So. Okay. We can sign these.
Last time your copy was formatted properly.
This is the one I have.
Okay.
Oh,
it goes here, buddy. Goes here.
Oh.
Right, so we'll...
Well, that was my copy. That's to remind me that I actually I reviewed it.
Okay.
All set?
All set.
All right, let's go upstairs.